It is my privilege to welcome you to the 188th Annual General Meeting of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Could all members hold up their voting cards so we can say we have quorate. Thank you very much. I hold this meeting as duly convened and quorate. We would ask that all mobile phones be switched off prior to the opening of this meeting and during the following service of worship. In addition, we would request that only the main entrance doors at the front of the building be used by those wishing to leave after our meeting today. All other exits will be closed and are for emergency use only. If there is a need to evacuate the building, please leave in an orderly fashion by your nearest fire exit and congregate at St Mary's Gardens, which is on the south side of the tabernacle beyond the leisure centre. We shall now read from the holy and inerrant Word of God. We read from the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, and the first four verses in chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and the first four verses in chapter 2. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Just for a very few moments, I will draw your thoughts to those words we've just read. We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. The introduction of the gospel to Thessalonica was not without its opposition from professors and profane. The complaint was that these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Of course, this is indeed the purpose of the gospel, but in so doing, Satan's kingdom being disturbed, it's like a hornet's nest, bringing out the natural hostility of fallen man to the truth in Jesus. And the chief complaint was of envy among the unbelieving Jews, who resented their power base being undermined by the defection of many to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and his just claims upon men. But even though Paul had to escape to Berea, where they received the word with readiness of mind, he did leave behind a remnant of true believers who made up the church in Thessalonica. And it's to them he is writing in these verses. And in the verse I've just highlighted, to be put in trust with the gospel, you see three things. First, a sacred privilege. Second, a solemn responsibility. And third, a sure success. Paul, speaking of himself, says we were allowed of God to put in trust of the gospel. Paul felt that to be an immense privilege and a continuing source of amazement that he did not take this honour to himself, but as he writes to the Galatians, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen. He was always astonished that he who was the blasphemer, the persecutor, the hater of the name of Jesus should be the one chosen by the great head of the church to proclaim this precious name as he did with such success under the Lord's goodness. He felt himself to be one of the weak things of the world to confound those things which were mighty. Those who are called then to this sacred privilege are those who feel their unworthiness of it and astounded that Almighty God should use such weak earthen vessels as they feel to be. The second thing is a solemn responsibility. To handle the gospel and to handle the word of God is indeed a solemn obligation not to tamper with it. Paul says, writing to the church at Corinth, that he did not handle the word of God deceitfully. On the very last pages of Scripture, we are warned not to add nor to subtract from the holy revelation that God has given. And Paul, when he was bidding farewell to the church at Ephesus, he said that he had not shunned to declare not just part, not just most, but all the counsel of God, whether they would hear or whether they were forbear. And he very sharply reproved the Galatian churches who were seeking some to add to it things that God had never intended to be added to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and others who were detracting from it by a loose and licentious walk. Paul was very aware of the responsibility of handling the word of God rightly and not to abandon, not to compromise, and he was jealous of the integrity of the word of God. He knew that there was that wonderful connection between the inspired word of God and the incarnate word of God, and that being so, he had the greatest reverence for it under the power of the Spirit. In all this, he felt himself to be an unworthy servant. As one good man in a Scottish church said many years ago to me, if my master had been any other than who he is, he would have dispensed with my services long ago. But Paul felt, and that godly man who I just mentioned felt, that God had helped them thus far. But they felt the weight of the word. And the third thing was, there's a sure success to God's holy word. In fact, you've only to read what we just read just now, how successful the word of God was. It came not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, much assurance. It changed them from serving idols to serve the living and the true God. It did turn their lives upside down and inside out. God has promised that his word will not return unto him void, shall accomplish that thing whereto it is sent. So we have a sacred privilege, we have a solemn responsibility, but also the promise of a sure success. And the Trinitarian Bible Society has a ministry to be engaged in which these three principles must be uppermost in our minds. It's a sacred privilege to be called to this work, whatever capacity we may have. There's also a most solemn responsibility not to tamper with the word of God, not to amend it to make it more palatable to the fallen character of man, but rather to hold on to the integrity and holiness of God's word against all opposition. Martin Luther once said, no greater mischief can happen to a Christian people than to have God's word taken from them or falsified so they no longer have it pure and clear. And I would say, God grant that we and our descendants be not witnesses to such a calamity. So may God help us in this endeavour, God using poor, weak instruments as we are, to further this noble work to the honour and glory of his precious and holy name. During the course of this meeting, I will be asking for motions to be voted on. And should there be any questions relating to them, we will, of course, do our best to answer them. We have the minutes of the last year's annual general meeting to be attended to, the annual report and audited financial statements, the reappointment of the charity trustees and the general committee, and the appointment of the auditors. And members will be asked to vote by holding up their voting cards. Each motion must have a proposer and seconder. It would be very helpful if the proposer and seconder could stand and display clearly their names, please, so it can be recorded. When a motion has been proposed and seconded, the motion will be put before the meeting for debate. If there's more than one motion, each motion will be taken separately in the order in which they've been placed before the meeting. It will be appreciated any member wishing to speak to any of the motions, they state their name clearly, and when advised by myself, address the meeting from the microphone on the lower platform at the front of the hall. This business meeting is scheduled to conclude at approximately 12:30 p.m. Following the business meeting, lunch will be served downstairs in the lower hall, and the service of worship is scheduled to commence, God willing, at 2 p.m. We now attend to the first item then on the agenda, the minutes of the AGM that took place a year ago on the 15th of September 2018. And I want to make just three brief observations about those minutes. They were circulated with the David Broome's covering letter of summer 2019. There were a few typographical errors that have been amended in the copy I'm about to sign. There are no substantive alterations, but for grammatical and reasons, there was a tidying up exercise. Only members who were present at the AGM last year are entitled to vote on the approval of the minutes of that meeting. The vote is to establish that members are happy that the minutes are an accurate record of business transacted at the AGM last year. So the motion is that the minutes of the annual general meeting held on 15th of September 2018 be approved and signed as a true record of that meeting. Is there a proposer, please, and a seconder? Thank you. Can you stand and give your... Mr. Ratcliffe, is it?
Yeah.
Peter. Mr. Ratcliffe, propose a seconder. Thank you, Philip Hopkins. Thank you, a seconder. Are there any people who wish to speak to the motion? That being the case, with those who are for the motion, we accept the minutes as they've been distributed. Please raise your voting cards. Thank you very much. And are any against? That's carried. Then con. I'll now sign the... We now proceed to the item on the agenda, item 5, which is the General Secretary's report, which will usually be given by Mr. Paul Rowland. As you know, Mr. Rowland has been unwell and he will be retiring, God willing, early October. And in the statement I'm about to make, I'll make reference to the long and indefatigable labours of our dear friend. So I will be speaking on his behalf, a poor substitute, but nonetheless, I hope you will bear with that. As many of you know, our esteemed General Secretary, Mr. Paul Rowland, has been suffering ill health for some months. And sadly, he's unable to be with us today, although he has sent his warmest greetings to this meeting. And in July, Mr. Rowland took the decision to retire from the Society's employment after 45 years of dedicated and fruitful service, and he retired in early October, if the Lord will. Now, the last thing Paul would wish is for the crown to be put on any other head than that of his Lord, when we consider what he was enabled to do as the General Secretary over so long a period. However, it is only right to acknowledge that by the gracious enabling of the Lord, he displayed indefatigable zeal, energy and commitment to the cause and principles of the Society which lay so dear to his heart. He will be remembered not only here in the United Kingdom, but in very many countries worldwide, where with evangelical zeal for the uncorrupted word of God and truly reformed principles, he set an uncompromising standard which has undoubtedly had a profound effect the many with whom he came into contact. His advice and counsel will be greatly missed at our General Committee meetings, especially by myself as the chairman, who have enjoyed a very close bond of friendship over the years I was privileged to work with our good friend. The General Committee and staff hope to make a presentation to Mr. Rowland at the October committee meeting, and it's hoped that when he recovers sufficient strength, he'll be of an ongoing help with his invaluable advice and the wealth of information he's accumulated over so many years. The General Committee, in their unanimous desire for him to continue his long association with us, have extended an invitation to him, which he has accepted, to become the President of the Trinitarian Bible Society, following in the footsteps of his esteemed friend, the late Reverend Gerald Hamstra. We seek your continued prayers for Mr. Rowland, his wife, Jane, in this time of difficulty and also great change in their lives, that they may indeed prove that Christ is their refuge. This, of course, marks a significant end of a chapter for the history of the Society, and we do pray the Lord will go on to be gracious without, though we have not the our friend Mr. Rowland with us at this time. We'll also mention on May 31st our senior deputation speaker, Dr. David Allen, who we expect to preach this afternoon. He also has retired. With the same indefatigable spirit that Mr. Rowland has been blessed with, so David has tirelessly travelled and spoken at home and abroad the cause of God's honour and truth in the Trinitarian Bible Society being close to his heart. A presentation on behalf of the Society was made to David at the June summer tea, when the warmest appreciation and thanks expressed to him. We would also render our appreciation to his wife for the sacrifice she has made, as same as Mrs. Rowland did with Paul. So David's wife spent many lonely hours while David was serving the Lord in his calling. May they both enjoy the Lord's blessing, what we hope with the quieter waters of retirement. We'll just make this comment that the wives of God's servants are sometimes forgotten. They make a great sacrifice. Many lonely hours, sometimes having to bring a little family up when the father is, absent. And we owe as great a debt to them as we do to those who have been more publicly engaged in the work. Through the Lord's mercy, rich mercy, good progress has been made on our strategic review. We're most thankful to all our members who completed the member consultation. We're currently studying your feedback carefully and are using it to help inform the important decisions that are being made. We hope to complete the review by mid-2020. This will include a new senior management structure to take the Society forward, which we hope will be implemented during 2021, if the Lord will. During that interim period, there will not be International General Secretary. The General Committee, the Directors in London, and the Overseas Branch General Secretaries will continue to work closely together in order to minimise the disruption to the Society's activities. We're very thankful for the brotherly unity and the strong commitment to the Society's principles the Lord's given us, amongst in particular at this time of great change. At the General Committee's request, as enabled by the Lord, the Resources Director, Mr. David Broome, has kindly agreed to lead the Society's headquarters in London for its interim period and ensure coordination with our overseas branches and strategic partners. We earnestly seek your prayers for all involved in overseeing and managing the Society, particularly during this transitional phase. Now, had Mr. Rowland been here, there are four or five things he would have said, so I say them on his behalf and on my own behalf as well. We send a very warm welcome to the branch secretaries who are with us today. Mr. Harold Gilmer has come from Brazil, Mr. Adrian Stachersdyke from Canada, Mr. Bill Greendyke from USA. These are partners in this great work we are engaged in, and we do really appreciate the fellowship that is the strong bond between the United Kingdom and these other branches of the Society. We convey our sincere appreciation and warm greeting to the GBS, our sister society in the Netherlands, for their close association and considerable financial support during the past year. We're very pleased to welcome Mr. Lodder, the treasurer of the GBS board, and Mr. Van Vyck, office manager. I hope I've said that right, Mr. Vyck, probably Thank you. Mr. Van Wyk, office manager. Mr. Lauder will shortly be addressing the meeting on behalf of the GBS. We extend our warmest prayerful wishes to the Reverend Chairman, Reverend Ryken, who often attended these meetings. He's recovering from an operation, and we miss him. He's been a very valuable attender for many years. We express our great thankfulness to the Lord for the provision of a new deputation speaker in place of Mr. Allen, the Reverend Craig Dennison, who's with us today. The Lord heard and answered our prayers and others over a long period of time, and clearly laid this matter upon Reverend Dennison's heart at just the time Mr. Dr. Allen indicated he would need to retire from the work. We wish the Reverend Dennison the Lord's richest blessing in his labours. Remember the Society's Vice President, many of whom are now elderly, but maintain a deep and prayerful interest in the Society. We are sorry to announce that Mr. Richard Vermeulen from New Zealand, one of the Society's Vice Presidents, passed away recently. He was instrumental in the preparation of the Society's Māori Bible, learning Māori at university in the 70s in order to ensure that corrections could be made to the Bible before it was published. The following new vice presidents have been appointed during the year, having faithfully served on the General Committee for many years: the Reverend David Silversides from Northern Ireland, and Pastor Michael Harley, we're glad to have with us today, and Mr. Roland Burrows. We are thankful for their continued public association with the Society and wish them the Lord's richest blessing. At this time of great change in the leadership of the Society, we seek your continued prayerful support. Be assured that it is by God's help, united desire of the General Committee, senior management and staff, working alongside our brethren in the overseas branches, not to deviate from the high standards of doctrine, translation and zeal for the spread of the uncorrupted Word of God, which has been the hallmark of the Trinitarian Bible Society since its foundation. Brethren, pray for us. So, I'm an unworthy substitute for Mr. Rowland, but I hope you will be thankful to hear what we've been able to tell you this morning. We now proceed to item 6 on the agenda, and we ask our editorial report to be given by Jonathan Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a great privilege and honour to report to you the work of the editorial department for this past year. To be involved even in a small way on the translation of a book that is from Almighty God humbles us, and as sinners causes us in all our best diligence to seek the Lord daily and rely on his mighty hand. This year has been a year of progress in a number of our translation projects, and what thanks we should render to the Most High God for this. We read in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." End quote. It is only by the grace of God and his sufficiency that we proceed in this work to any God-glorifying end. We are thankful this past year has been one of stability in the department, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each member of the editorial department and our consultants for their work in managing translation projects, giving linguistic advice, ensuring the typeset Bibles produced and our other publications are as accurate as possible, preparing the multitude of calendars, updating people with news about our projects and all the preparation work for the QR. Thanks must also be given to our translators and translation teams. Many labour in their spare hours or give up years of their professional life to engage in the vital matter of translating the scriptures. Often this is in remote or less habitable parts of the world. Please pray for them and for the scripture translations that they produce. It is their labour of love for the Lord for which we are very grateful, and it's a labour most often carried out with a great burden for their native kinsmen. In terms of updates for our translation projects, Our work, as described in our laws and regulations, states, the aim shall be to produce or select versions whose textual basis is as close as possible to the Hebrew Masoretic and the Greek received text underlying both the English Authorized Version and translations of comparable standing made from these texts in other European languages at the time of the Protestant Reformation. It's in this we continue, and on those underlying texts we stand. It is, however, difficult for me to fully convey the necessity of translation work that we are engaged in. The expectation and, Lord willing, joy of a group who receive the scriptures they can read in a familiar language, even their native tongue, is heartening. Somewhat like in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, when Josiah's scribe discovers the scroll of the law or the scriptures, it can have a refining effect on a church, but also give access to those with a Berean attitude to study what is said according to the word of God. The support given to the society under God helps the young preacher in Manipur, India, to preach from a Bible that contains those verses so heavily linked to the Trinity, such as 1 John 5, 7 and 8. It gives a Bible to a poor farmer in a country bound by false religion, that by the inward work of the Spirit it might show him salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It gives the person who has fled many miles from a persecuted land a Bible in their native tongue that introduces them for the first time to the truth of God. And it is on that basis, to the glory of God, we continue to have over 40 translation or revision projects, some from each continent on earth. Some projects are undertaken by one person, others by a group of people. But the teams carefully selected pursue that one aim, to have a faithful translation of the scriptures in their language. And to that end, 2018 and the beginning of 2019 has been significant. The Persian New Testament has been sent to print and, Lord willing, will be available in November this year. The text has also been completed for the Shona, Thadu and Simti Bibles, as well as the New Testament in Chichewa and Dangeo. Furthermore, we are typesetting the Gospel according to John in Pekot and French. And this trend, Lord willing, we see continuing in 2020 and 21. According to the Lord's mercy, we hope to complete the Bible in Spanish and also New Testaments in French, Amharic and Chinese. The number of translation projects still poses for us considerable technical and management challenges, so please pray for the Lord's provision in these matters. In terms of other items, this past year, the Society has released its new online Bible. Including in that release was the Authorized Version, the Spanish New Testament, the Gospel according to John in Chinese, Hebrew, and Romanian. And we continue to prepare faithfully translated scriptures for online publication and hope to add to these in the coming months and years. The online Bible is a way that we can get a copy of the scriptures into hands of millions of people around the world who we would not otherwise be able to reach with a paper copy. It is our hope and prayer that the Lord would use this for His glory. We also continue to add to our website. The translation and distribution reports are frequently put on there. And this year we've also created some web pages that pertain to certain languages that the Society has translation projects or published scriptures in. These web pages have been created in foreign languages such as Amharic, Chinese, Hebrew and Romanian. And this is to reach the audience of those translations, to explain to them more about the Society, where we stand, our translation principles, and why the revision project or translation project has been undertaken in the first place. Furthermore, in 2018, we have published our diary for 2019, Golden Thoughts calendars in 10 languages, the Words of Life calendars in 22 languages, a series of children's puzzle books on the theme of Bible journeys, and a large print edition of our Westminster Reference Bible, as well as recently our Gospel according to John in Bulgarian. I'd also appreciate your prayers for a curriculum we're currently working on, being prepared by our Canadian General Secretary, a former head teacher, for use in schools, homeschoolers and church-related children teaching activities, that they might be taught about the underlying principles as to why we hold to the Hebrew Masoretic, the Greek received text, and why we believe the authorized version is the best translation in English. Each of these publications, we trust, were carefully prepared and could be used in line with the society's principles. In conclusion, thank you all for your prayers, help, and support this past year. Please continue to pray for us and our translation teams across the world as we seek to prepare faithful editions and accurate editions of the Holy Scripture. We trust that as Isaiah 55 verse 1 states, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan, very much. We do very much appreciate all the work you've been doing for the society. I now ask our friend Philip Lowes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I mentioned last year, the operations work of the society can be thought of as Bibles in and Bibles out. First, buying Bibles and other items from our suppliers, and then sending them out to customers and grantees around the world. My report today contains some large numbers which represent the Bibles, scripture portions, and scripture items sent out during 2018. I hope you will be encouraged by these large numbers, as I am. But since the work is essentially spiritual, it cannot be reduced to mere numbers. And it is God's work. He alone causes it to prosper, so he alone receives the glory. The aim of the society, unchanged since 1831, is to promote the glory of God and the salvation of men by circulating, both at home and abroad, in dependence on the divine blessing, the Holy Scriptures, which are given by inspiration of God and are able to make men wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we aim to circulate the highest number of scriptures possible. We do this by selling them to people who can afford to pay and granting them to those who cannot, funds permitting. During 2018, the Trinitarian Bible Society gave away over 1.6 million Bibles, scripture portions, and scripture items. And we sent these to approved grantees, including churches, missions, prisons, schools, missionaries, and Bible colleges. Some of the larger grants included 32,500 Spanish New Testaments for Latin America, 15,000 Ndebele Bibles for Zimbabwe, and 10,000 Russian Bibles for Kazakhstan. Just think of the impact under God of so many copies of God's holy word being sent out freely to our neighbours overseas. Turning now to sales, last year TBS sold 15.5 million Bibles, scripture portions, and scripture items. 87% of these were sold under license to other publishers. And we license TBS Bible translations because doing so helps us reach many more people with faithful and accurate editions of the scriptures. But licensing aside, last year we physically sent out over 2 million Bibles, scripture portions, and scripture items from our own warehouses in different parts of the world to customers and grantees throughout the world. You probably know that the motto of the Society is the Word of God among all nations. And each year our offices send the scriptures to the four corners of the world. Last year we distributed scriptures in 38 languages to 115 countries, which are listed in the most recent quarterly record. Let us give thanks that God's word went out from this society to so many countries, from Albania, Angola, Argentina, and Australia at one end of the alphabet, to Vanuatu, Venezuela, Zambia, and Zimbabwe at the other. Turning again to the UK, we continue to operate a National Rail Scripture Poster campaign, whereby we coordinate the display of large scripture posters at UK rail stations. Last year, 174 poster bookings were made, which were funded by 49 sponsors, and the sponsors included churches, chapels, assemblies, and individuals. We heard an account of a lady who returned to the Lord from her backsliding as a result of seeing a TBS scripture poster in a rail station. So please consider whether you or your church would like to sponsor posters in your local rail stations for 2020. The sponsorship forms are available at our literature tables today, and the submission deadline for forms is the 1st of October. Now, a word on TBS auxiliaries. TBS auxiliaries are local committees of the Society working towards the fulfilment of the Society's aim in their local regions. During 2018, with the help of a highly capable volunteer, a UK auxiliary development project began with the aim of supporting and extending this aspect of the Society. And we were encouraged back in November when the first new auxiliary for some years was established, serving South and Mid Wales. And by way of update, two further auxiliaries have been established this year, one for Essex, Suffolk and Norfolk, and one for Devon and Cornwall. Please pray for these new auxiliaries and for all of our auxiliaries as they seek to work to the Society's aim in their local area. So in closing, I would like to thank the staff and the volunteers of the Operations Department in London, as well as the staff and the volunteers in our international offices, for all of their labours during 2018. Without them, the work that I have described could not have been completed. How remarkable that the Lord gave the word and then placed this treasure in earthen vessels such as us, the members of his church, entrusting us to faithfully copy and distribute it throughout the world. May we count it a privilege to be part of this noble work, and may the Lord bless the work during 2019 and beyond. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Philip. And again, we really appreciate all you've done. May the Lord bless you in that as well. We now proceed to item 8 and ask the Resources Director, David Groom, to present his report, please.
Mr. Chairman, members and supporters of this society, what a tremendous benefit we have from the promises of the Word of God. We have such gracious assurances as this: I am the Lord, I change not. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And at this pivotal moment in the Society's 188-year history, we look again to the Lord's faithfulness and unchangeability. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I would join our chairman and my brethren in paying tribute to Mr. Rowland, to his dedicated labours over almost half a century, to his tremendous vision and zeal for the Word of God among all nations, And I personally have learnt so much from him over the almost 10 years that I have been privileged to work with him. Yes, we shall miss Paul's leadership indeed, but we are delighted that he has accepted the Society's presidency, meaning that we shall continue to benefit from his insight and his great zeal for this work, trusting that the Lord will be pleased to heal and strengthen him, God willing. But despite these changing scenes, this work will continue. It must, for it is the Lord's work. We've already heard twice this morning of the privilege that the Lord has given in placing this work in earthen vessels. And we are but the feeble and unworthy instruments that he has chosen to help with the practical parts of this work here upon earth. Therefore, as Solomon exhorted in Proverbs 4, we would let our eyes look right onward and our eyelids straight before us, seeking God's glory, the extension of his kingdom, and his strength, wisdom and grace in all that we seek to do in his name. As you have heard, the chairman has mentioned the interim management arrangements until the new structure is settled and appointed to, God willing, sometime in 2020-21. We're deeply thankful for the strong unity of spirit and purpose that exists amongst and between the Society's General Committee, the senior management here in London, and the International General Secretaries. We shall be very much working as a team, looking to the Lord for his enabling and for his guiding hand. And once again, we covet your prayers at this time of change. You will remember that a year ago we were expressing some concern about the Society's financial position in the UK particularly, and certainly 2018 turned out to be a challenging year. More detail can be found in the annual report, quarterly record 628, which was issued in August and which you will shortly be asked to adopt, and also in the full trustees annual report and financial statements for 2018, which are available on our website and also by contact in the office. To summarise 2018 very briefly then, the Society's worldwide operating deficit for 2018 was £775,000, of which £715,000 related to the UK. Now, this did not present an immediate financial problem within 2018 itself, because in our usual way of budgeting, we only use legacy income and certain restricted funds in the year after they are received. However, in an average year, we would have expected to have received a further £400,000 or £500,000 of income, allowing this level of funds to be carried over in support of our 2019 budget. But this largely did not happen because the UK legacy income was only £80,000 compared to around £380,000 as a long-term average, and also because we were unable to find a tenant for our investment property, John Wycliffe House, for 11 months of that year, which cost us around £160,000 in lost rent and business rates. Against this financial backdrop then, and having failed to let the building, John Wycliffe House, to a company that we were happy with on a basis which accorded with our principles, particularly not using the building on the Lord's Day, the law seemingly shut up the Society to a decision to sell John Wycliffe House. It seemed like a mysterious providence, but it was quite clear that we should buy that property when we did, when we bought our own new headquarters building. But the Lord has led us to sell it. And after 3 months of prayerful consideration, the committee decided to sell in December 2018. The completion was made of the sale in early June 2019 for the remarkable sum of £2.45 million. During that short period that we owned that building, of less than 4 years, the capital appreciation was somewhere in the region of £650,000. The law sometimes withholds with one hand and gives with another. After costs and paying the Golden Thoughts Calendar Fund its share back
The general fund benefited by around £1.8 million. And we wish to retain a substantial proportion of this for the long term in order to reinvest to help maintain our income levels. I am sometimes asked why these societies' financial health seems to fluctuate so much. And I understand why our members and supporters would be concerned about that. It is largely due to the volatility of legacy income. By way of illustration, the highest year in the past six, from 2013 to 2018, yielded legacy income of £1.3 million. The lowest year, which was last year of those six, yielded just £80,000. Like many charities, therefore, this society is seeking ways to eliminate our dependency upon legacy income, not just for our in-year expenditure, which we've already achieved, but also for all routine ongoing expenditure. We would like not to be dependent on legacy income. The long-term plan is to use legacy income for granting of scriptures particularly and for other one-off projects. So this is one of the key planks of our financial work within the strategic review, but it will take a number of years to achieve if there are not to be potentially damaging cuts in expenditure in the meantime. Therefore, we acknowledge the Lord's wise provision in giving us sufficient funds through the sale of John Wycliffe House to maintain a sustainable budget whilst we achieve this, God willing. Turning to a slightly more technical matter, there is a resolution on the agenda that you will see asking for the reappointment of our auditors, Kingston Smith LLP. 3 weeks ago, Kingston Smith joined the Moore International Network and have now changed their name to Moore Kingston Smith LLP. Nothing else changes in terms of the society's relationships with our auditors, and therefore I'm pleased to wholeheartedly recommend their reappointment as the society's auditors. I would take this opportunity finally to thank all the society's staff, volunteers, auxiliaries, and all who support this work in any practical or financial or indeed, most importantly, prayerful way all around the world. Without your support, this work would simply not be possible. But most of all, we would publicly acknowledge once again the Lord's great goodness to this society over the past 12 months for bringing us honourably through a difficult time. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us, we are certain of that, as we continue to look to Him through this time of change, with our eyes looking right onward and our eyelids straight before us to the great God of heaven. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, David. And again, we warmly thank you for all you have been doing and are doing for the society. Indeed, I would commend to you the senior management who are very closely working together to forward the work of the society. And they're united, and the union between them is such a strength to the society at this time of change. And we do really appreciate what they are doing. Now, are there any questions to any of the senior management on with the reports they've given? That being the case, then, we would come to the item 9 on the agenda. This is a motion to adopt the annual report and audited financial statements. In so doing, we recognise our need and the Lord's goodness and mercy to do this. And also at the same time, I'm very thankful to all those who are labouring, some more publicly, some behind the scenes, to continue this work so ably. The motion is that this society reverently acknowledges the complete dependence upon the Almighty God, reaffirms its constant adherence to the scriptural doctrines and principles upon which the work was established, and seeks the divine blessing upon its endeavour to promote the worldwide circulation of Protestant or uncorrupted versions of the divinely inspired Holy Scriptures, which are able to make wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, which are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And that the report and audited financial statements, a summary which has been printed in the report, and copies of which have now been circulated, be adopted. Here's a proposal for this motion, please. Thank you very much. Seconder, please. Thank you very much. We have a proposal and a second. Any comments, any questions concerning this? In which case, those in favour of the resolution, please raise their voting cards. Thank you very much. Any against? Please carry it. Then, Carmen, thank you very much again for that. We have item 10, to appoint the charity trustees and the general committee. The details of each of the society's trustees are printed on the agenda, so you can see who you are going to vote for. And the motion is the following gentlemen constitute the charity trustees for the society and are members of the general committee with ex officio members for the ensuing year, and with power to fill up any vacancies of their number in the interval of the annual general meeting. Now, the treasurer, Mr. Clark, is ex officio, but doesn't make it any less important. We value his advice very much so over the years. Here's a proposal for this motion that Mr. G.D. Buss, Pastor R.A. Clark, the Reverend R.G. Ferguson, Mr. A.K. Jones, the Dr. M. Keogh Brown, the Reverend Kirkland, the Reverend Lewis, Mr. J.P. Sayers, Reverend J.P. Thackway, Mr. M.A. Vogan be elected, please. Is there a proposer? Thank you, David. Nalam. A seconder, please. Thank you. Richard Ward. Thank you, Richard. Anyone wish to speak to the motion? Any comments? Would someone then please raise your order, your voting cards if you're in favour, please. Those against? Carried, Mem Carmen. Thank you very much for your renewed confidence in us. It is a great pleasure and a privilege to work with this committee, I can assure you. Mr. Malcolm Watts, who was the esteemed chairman who preceded me, was able to bring a wonderful sense of unity among the committee, which has been very much appreciated. And I have the privilege of carrying on with that unity, and I'm very thankful for it, for the moral support I'm given as chairman, and for your support of us as a general committee. May the Lord bless you and reward you for your kind support. We now come to item 11, to re-elect the auditors. The motion is that Kingston Smith LLP be appointed auditors for the year, and that's the present year. It's a proposal for this motion, please. Thank you, Philip. Mr. Hopkins, seconder, please. Thank you, Dr. David Allen. Thank you, David. Those in favour, please raise their cards. Thank you very much. Any against? That's carried. Then, Tom, thank you very much for that. Now, we have two special visitors. We have three, actually. And the first one is our friend, Mr. Lodder, from the GBS sister organisation. We warmly welcome Mr. Lodder. And would you like to address the meeting now, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board and friends of the Trinitarian Bible Society, on behalf of the board of directors and office staff of the Gereformeerde Bible Stichting in the Netherlands, we wish to convey our sincere and heartfelt greetings on the occasion of the 188th anniversary of the TBS, our sister society. Our relationship goes back many years, and in fact the first contact dates back to 1966, the year that our society was established. So compared to our older sister, we are relatively young with 53 years. It is by divine providence that our relationship has been able to grow and expand during those 53 years. Therefore, we hope and pray that this may be continued, and that our humble efforts may lead to the conversion of sinners in whatever country that may be. That it may be to the extension of his kingdom, but above all, to the glory and honor of his name. A few months ago, our old chairman, Reverend Pete Block, passed away. He changed time for eternity. He had been our chairman for 25 years and a member of our board for over 40 years. We'll miss him, but may the memory of the just be blessed. We also think of our friend Mr. Paul Rowland, your general secretary, for many years, and for many years a welcome guest and friend of the TBS in Leerdam. May it please the Lord to sustain him and grant him recovery of his health. Finally, it is the wish of our board that our relationship may be given to grow to the honor and glory of his name. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lauder. I'm sure that I extend, on behalf of the committee, our warmest thanks to the GBS. It's been a very profitable relationship, and we do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now, we have two other visitors today to help us. I've just reminded you that our good friend Dr. David Allen will be preaching this afternoon in the worship service. But this morning, we have the Reverend Risitlu from the Thadu Bible Translation Project. He is the leader of that translator project, and he lives in India. And we're very pleased he's made the effort to come across all those many miles. And we'd very much like to speak to start the meeting now, please.
Respected Chairman and delegates of this August gathering of Trinitarian Bible Society, at the outset, I thank God for enabling me to come and participate in the 188th Annual General Meeting of Trinitarian Bible Society, London. I also thank TBS fraternity for the kind invitation extended to me. It is a precious opportunity and honor for me to share the Thadu Bible Project in this August meeting. The Bible is unshakable and eternal living word of God. As the Lord Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Every created thing will be shaken and pass away, but the word of God shall not be moved and remain forever and ever. In this dispensation, God has given his word for every tribe, every nation to read, to believe, and to have eternal life. The Bible is the only place in which man can find and see the true living God and know his will and claim his glorious promises and plan for eternity. Therefore, nothing is more tragic and disastrous for any man or tribe on earth than not to have the Bible. Indeed, it is tragic and heartbreaking to say that the Thadu people do not have the whole Bible even unto these days in the 21st century. The Thadu people, according to the documents and the records of the British writers and anthropologists, the Thadu is one of the ancient people group in Southeast Asia, having a long history, language, tradition, culture, and custom. And it is recognized as one of indigenous tribes by the government of India and government of Myanmar. During the British period, the Thadu dialect language was prerequisite for any government employees in the Northeast India. The first missionary of Manipur, William Pettigrew, who came from Artington Mission Society in Great Britain in 1894, and who later joined the American Baptist Mission Society learned and spoke the Thadu dialect. The Thadus are dispersed in Northeast India region and neighboring countries as well. They inhabited Bangladesh, Myanmar, along the Chin Dwin Valley in Chin State in Myanmar. In Northeast India, they live in Assam, Nagaland. Mainly, they occupy the hills of Manipur on all sides of Imphal Valley. The Thadu chiefs were very powerful, and they are non-elected monarchs with hereditary rights to rule. Their powers were absolute, unchangeable, irrefutable. They were looked upon with great respect and almost superstitious veneration. They ruled and governed the hill areas of Manipur before the arrival of the British. The Thadus are neither enemies nor idolaters. Their religion is known as Indoi. Literally, it is house magic. According to them, there are two powerful gods. One is Almighty God, benevolent God of super world, who with supernatural power created heaven and earth and give all good things to mankind, such as sunlight, moonlight, rainwater, and gentle breeze. And the other god is malevolent, or the god of subterranean world, who rules the world and causes all kinds of sickness and calamities and death. The Thadus also fought against the British 3 years, during 1917 to 1919, when it was used to say that the sun never set in the British Empire. They did not know the power and the might of the British. They declared to launch a massive war against the British on March 17, 1917. It was known as the Thadu War, and also known as Cookie Rebellion by outsiders. The military operation against the Thadus during 1917 to 1919 were also recognized as part of the Great War, World War I. Thadu wearers proved to be definitely formidable foes. The British government issued more mountain guns, new rifles, and 303 Longley and field magazines and grenades, and replaced old guns of 1900. After 3 years, the Thadus were completely suppressed and defeated. The war was officially declared closed by the Lieutenant General Sir S. H.D.U. Henry Carey on 28 May 1919. The story of Anglo-Thadu War did not just end here, but it has a colossal impact in both political and religious life of the Thadus. The Christianity before the Anglo-Thadu War, the Thadu chiefs vehemently opposed any religion other than their Indoi worship. But as they assume that the world is the abode of evil spirit and cause all kinds of diseases and death, they live in terror and in the state of fear. As a result of fear, they worship and make sacrifices to appease the evil spirits. When they were completely suppressed and defeated by the British in the war, the Thadu chiefs realized that the British are much stronger and mightier than the Thadus, and believe that the god of the British is superior and mightier than their gods. They were not only defeated, but the stronghold of the evil spirit worship had been destroyed and tore down. Their spiritual worldview has been completely changed, and they started to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since 1920s, the seed of gospel was spread like a wildfire among the Thadus, and today 99% of Thadus became Christians. But On the other hand, it is also sad to say that though the Thado Christianity has completed more than 100 years, they still do not have the whole Bible till today. Majority of the Thado Christians do not read the Bible, the living Word of God. As a result, their understanding and knowledge of the Bible is shallow, hollow, and superficial. Consequently, their faith become shaky, unsteady, wavering, and number of nominal Christians are increasing. Furthermore, churches have become weak for mission work, and their evangelistic work has become ineffective, dry, and powerless. The main reason for this miserable failure in the work of evangelization can only be attributed to the non-availability of the Bible. It may not be excessive to say that the Thado people are spiritually perishing for lack of the Bible. To ensure spiritual revival, strengthening of their faith, restructuring of the churches, and revitalization by a total commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Thado's greatest need is the Holy Bible. The history of the Thado Bible, the first Bible, authorized King James Version, was seen and possessed by the Thado was presented by King George V, the King of United Kingdoms, the British Dominion, and the Emperor of India to Mr. Mulhall Thompson, the first Thado Christian convert, and who also led the Labour Corps in France during World War I. Besides the Bible, the king also presented him a blanket with color of lion strips embedded on it. After returning home from France, Mr. Mulhall Thompson had been engaged in translating the New Testament. With the permission obtained from the British and Foreign Bible Society and under the supervision of the medical missionaries from America, Dr. G.G. Crozet and his wife, Mrs. M.B. Crozet, Mr. Mulhall Thompson started translating the New Testament. Prior to the whole New Testament, John Sutkipa Mitipa, that's the Gospel according to John, was printed in 1925. And Rome Mitehin Apolletot, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, was printed in 1933. The whole New Testament in Thado was completed and printed in 1942 by the Bible Society of India. It was revised and compared with the former translation and printed 10,000 copies by Trinitarian Bible Society, London, as the first edition in 1973. During the ethnic violence in Manipur, 1992 to 1995, many of the Thado houses had been burned down to ashes, including their New Testaments. Since then, the New Testament was hardly found in any Thado household. The mass population did not have the chance to read the Bible on their own dialect and depended only on the preaching and teaching of the pastors and evangelists. As the population increased, the demand for the Holy Bible in Thado has become great. This desperate need and demand of the Holy Bible in Thado compelled a group of Thado educated persons to start translating the Holy Bible, AKJV, since 1974. They had finished the translation in 1980s, but lying unpublished for many years. They approached the Bible International, BI, and the Bible Society of India for printing, but was failed. Thus, the Thado Christians have become helpless and cannot but humbly pray to the Lord Almighty God. They organize mass prayer meetings for the Bible and asking God to provide His living Word, the Bible, in their own language. I personally pray without seeing for printing of the Holy Bible entirely. It was also priority in my personal prayer list. During my 2 years theological studies in South Korea, I used to go to the prayer mountains and pray with tears for the Tado Bible. I have also approached the Korean Bible Society, thinking that God might answer my prayer through Korean Bible Society. But God answered our prayer in His own time and His own way. He answered our prayer through the Trinitarian Bible Society, London, and the First Bible International, U.S. The door for printing the New Testament in Tado was opened in 2005. While attending the Baptist World Alliance Congress in Birmingham in 2005, I request Mr. David Larham, the former Assistant General Secretary, for visiting the office of TBS. He graciously accepted my request and warmly welcomed me with my team members. It was a rare opportunity for me to share about the need of the Tado people for the Bible. We praise God that our request was also accepted and provided the materials for translation, such as a computer, a Greek lexicon, and Greek New Testament. The revision and editing of the New Testament was completed under the scrupulous guidance of the TBS and big-heartedly printed by the First Bible International, U.S. in 2014. The TBS and the First Bible International freely provided the Tado people the living Word of God, the New Testament, in their own language. How amazing it was for the Tados. D.P. Paul Rowland, the General Secretary of TBS, and Dale Money, Director, Precious Bearing Sheet, and the First Bible International, U.S., had also come personally and visited the Tado people in November 21st to 24 in 2014. During their visit, the New Testament was released on the 24th of November 2014 at Modung Baptist Church, the largest Tado Baptist Church in India. It was a remarkable and a great event in the history of the Tado Christianity. The Tados rejoice exceedingly and praise God for His priceless providence. Truly, God provides and He is our provider. Today, the Tado churches, families, and individuals are reading the Word of God, the New Testament, in their own dialect. Their long desire and cherish has been fulfilled and achieved. But most of the pioneer translators have passed away without seeing the Tado Bible, except one person who is no other than my brother is alive and have seen the Tado New Testament and now waiting to see the Holy Bible. During their August visit, Paul Rowland, the General Secretary of TBS, and Brother Dale Money, the Director of First Bible International, have seen our distress for one of the whole Bible and accepted our humble request for printing the whole Bible. We have started the work of revision and editing from 2014 and completed in the month of August 2019. It is a great joy to say that we are also going to have the Holy Bible in Tado with concordance. And this will be the first of its kind to have the Holy Bible among the tribal communities in Manipur. In conclusion, I thank God for providing us His living Word through TBS London and the First Bible International, U.S. I trust that by reading the Word of God in their own dialect, the Tado Christians will strengthen their faith and many will come to know Christ. There will be a great change and transformation in the lives of the Tado people by reading the living Word of God. and the Tadu Christians will become a significant instrument for advancing the work of evangelism in Southeast Asia. May the Lord continue to bless TBS. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sidgley, for that most interesting expedition of the great work of the Tadu. We're very thankful for what has been done there. May the Lord richly bless his own word. We now proceed to item 14. In accordance with the agenda sent to members in a letter dated 20 August 2019, any motions for the General Committee to consider the AGM were due by 2nd of September. There were no matters of substance received. There's nothing further to raise under this particular item. In which case, we now close the meeting and the service worship commences at 2 p.m, God willing, when our good friend, Dr. David Allen, is expected to preach, if the Lord will.